Okay, and welcome back. Hour number three. We're going to talk to Dr. Betty Martini this hour about aspartame. She has dedicated her life for a long time now to try to save life on this planet and in a way that few do. Aspartame, a killer, a carcinogenic neurotoxin. And some people still say, well, that can't be true because the government would never do that to us. They wouldn't allow that in our foods. Uh-uh. Do you know that 80% of the foods now that people eat have GMO in them? There's some GMOs in everything virtually that people eat, 80% and rising all the time. Aspartame has, of course, gone through a number of different incarnations. They've given it a new name recently. We'll find out about that as well. It is still now what it was when Donald Rumsfeld forced it through. When the scientists doing the original research said, no, this is not safe. It is a killer. It is absolutely a cold stone killer over time. We don't know how many people have been done away with by aspartame through psychological means, physical means, but it's a very high number. Betty, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Oh, I'm just great, Jeff, and I'm just delighted to be back.
Good. It's I don't know when our first conversation was, but it goes back a long time.
Oh, back to the 90s, the early 90s, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this killer just keeps right on killing.
Yes,
and
indeed.
It's amazing. I want to start out by paying tribute to someone we've lost recently, a true hero in the field. You want to talk about Dr. B a little bit?
Dr. H.J. Roberts, yes, that's who trained me. He is the world expert on aspartame. He wrote the 1,000-page medical text on it. And, you know, he, for all these years, he would talk to anyone. He would help anyone. I mean, he was just a very rare individual. And I'm having a hard time without him. He knew he was dying. He died at the age of 88. And he called me up one day. He says, I'm sending you 4 crates of records. This is all my research on aspartame. Hmm. He knew then he wanted me to continue with his work.
Yes.
And of course, he's left the medical text to the world, because when they, no matter what they have, they can look up their disease, and it will tell you the actual mechanism by which aspartame causes it. So it's and it's what doctors need. Many of them, are kind of clueless. I was having a talk with him, and I said, you know, I started in pre-med. I wish I'd gotten an MD. Maybe I could help more. And he says, no, Betty, you couldn't. He says, you know, more than 95% of the physicians in this country, and he said, it saves lives better. And he says, when I want to talk about aspartame, I call you.
Well, he's completely correct. Your reach so far exceeds that of any doctor.
We have to train the doctors. That's just they don't know that aspartame, for instance, interacts with the drugs, because it damages the mitochondria. So, for instance, if you got a patient that's having a seizure, you're going to give them an anti-seizure medication, and it will not work. And so you're not going to be able to help the patient, and in some cases, they're putting aspartame in the anti-seizure medication.
Unreal. Well, when I found out they're putting it in some vaccines, I about fell over. But it doesn't surprise me. They put it in everything.
I know, and it's an adjuvant, you know, an immune stimulator like squalene. So you can't say that they don't know. And here's a very good example of showing this. You got the problem that the methanol breaks down to formaldehyde and embalms the body, like doctor.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, so yep. And to show you that they knew, the National Soft Drink Association, you know, wrote this 33-page protest to the FDA about using it, mentioning the adulteration law and the fact that they had used a test where they wouldn't even pick up aspartic acid. So here it is known. Everybody knows it. And so now this is really almost comical if it wasn't so criminal. What they're doing, you know, you don't do things if you have no need to do them. And so, you know, they've got these patents for encapsulated aspartame. And it is the most hilarious thing. One doctor says, do they think that we're imbeciles? Because they have the problem of it breaking down. Uh-huh. Well, the way that aspartame works is with the, what is called the gustatory papilla, these small tissue elevations in the mouth that contain sense organs of taste.
Okay.
Well, the way that since aspartame precisely acts by its interaction with this gustatory papilla in the tongue, if you encapsulate it, it's not going to work.
No, you won't even taste the sweet. It'll go right on past. If sweet is the right word to even use on that stuff. Have any of you folks ever opened a can of diet whatever and said, that's not very sweet. It tastes crummy. Well, what's happened is the aspartame has been exposed to temperatures exceeding, 85 to 90 degrees for X number of minutes.
Yeah, moderate temperature. It's going to break down. It's going to break down before you ever get it.
It's no longer aspartame. You are not drinking aspartame. You're drinking its breakdown products.
Right.
All of which are incredibly bad for you. What isn't talked about much is the DKP, the diketopiperazine, which is a known brain tumor agent. In other words, it causes brain cancer, brain tumors. This is one of the four breakdown products of aspartame. They knew all this. This is all known.
And the secret trade information in the last paragraph, you know, they say basically that you have to consider complete conversion to DKP, and if they tell the FDA, they're not going to approve it. So, you know, that's right there. They had to give that up in congressional hearings.
Yeah.
So they admitted in this. Now, get this. They admitted in there that at least, you know, if we do it this other way, we'll get them in a yes mood that we'll get some because we know it can't be used for everything. And they know that you can't use it for baking because it's going to break down. So in 1996, Kessler approved it for everything. In 1993 for baking, even though the FDA themselves said for years, you cannot heat aspartame.
Can't heat it up, it's gone.
You know, and then they just, and think about it. You know what, aspartame is made up of an excitotoxin, two neurotoxin, and a brain tumor agent. And they put it all together and say, hey guys, this is safe.
Well, the idea of mixing it with sugar for baking was one I remember talking to you about, I don't know how many years ago now, but that was a laugher. It's madness.
Oh, well, think about this. Do you remember, not? I guess it hasn't been too long ago, that Pepsi said, you know, we're going to change the sweetener in the Diet Pepsi. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness,
yeah.
My phone was ringing off the hook, and they said, hey, they're going to take out aspartame. I says, no, they're not. There is no way in the world they'll do that because it's addictive. It's a cash cow. And they're going to do something, but they'll never take it out unless they're forced to.
Right.
And sure enough, they admitted the truth. They said aspartame breaks down. So they didn't put it in a bulletproof vest. It was still breaking down now. And they said the way that they kind of stopped it from breaking down was to add a couple of other ingredients like sucralose and a sulfine potassium. Both of them cause cancer. And Splenda, they took the hydroxyls, the sugar, and turned them into, exchanged them for chlorine. And then Dr. Siffredi.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, like drinking bleach. And then Dr. Siffredi at the Ramazzini Institute did a study on it, showed it caused cancer. Well, of course it causes cancer. And violates the Delaney Amendment, just like aspartame does.
Mm-hmm.
Aspartame is illegal not only from that standpoint, admitted by the FDA to Congress, but it's also illegal because of adulteration. Interstate commerce laws, it says you cannot, ship a product that for sale that is adulterated. So it's all been admitted.
Yeah.
Everything's a matter of public record.
But nothing changes.
Yeah. Nothing changes.
No. People continue to consume it and continue to pay the price. Just if you folks don't know anything about this, click on Betty's name, go to the website, or click on the data under her name and go to that website, or just do a search, aspartame poisoning or aspartame danger. And I mean, the data on it is overwhelming. This stuff is poison, and it should not be anywhere near human beings. And they put it in chewing gum. They have all the different names for it. We'll talk about the name branding of aspartame in a minute with Betty. It's got another new one as we continue. In just a couple. Okay, and back with Betty, talking about aspartame. Folks, it could be in your kitchen right now, in your fridge. Could be in your blood running around your body, or at least the breakdown products of it. I'm sure there are some folks listening right now who have consumed aspartame. What's the latest name game change that they've come up with?
Well, they changed the name to AminoSweet. And as soon as they did, in fact, Dr. Roberts called and he said, this is emphatically deceptive. They are trying to get away from the methanol, which is a severe metabolic poison. And so they're calling it AminoSweet, whereas it's the methanol that sweetens the product. And he says that is completely deceptive. And, of course, there are many names. There's E91, which is the European E number for it. So if you saw that on your toothpaste, you wouldn't even know that's aspartame. And then you've got aspartame and NutraSweet and Equal and Canderel and Benevia. The patent's off. It can be in anything. It can be hidden in natural and artificial flavors.
Well, that's one of the prime locations of it, natural flavors. That's
right.
I've told people for years, if it says natural flavors or artificial flavors, put it down. Not good. Okay. This is the same old then. What are the federal disclosure mandates now that that apply to aspartame?
Well, it's interesting that they had so much of it when the law is that it must require a PKU warning for phenylketonuria because, you know, that they cannot metabolize phenylalanine. And you have to remember, this phenylalanine, like Dr. Wortman told Congress, is like no other phenylalanine in any product. And the reason is that in meat or milk, you know, you might get 4 or 5%. You won't get 50%. And 50% of the molecule is phenylalanine. As an isolate, it's neurotoxic, and it goes through the blood-brain barrier and just literally floods the brain and lowers the seizure threshold. And the interesting thing about phenylketonuria, one day Dr. James Bowen said, he says, first of all, nobody could metabolize that much phenylalanine. And he says, besides that, aspartame causes phenylketonuria. So no matter how you look at it, and so that when Stuart Pape, who heads the National Yogurt Association many years ago, first petitioned the FDA to allow it unlabeled, I talked to Jerome Bressler. He was one of the last heroes at the FDA, you know, before they became literally Big Pharma's Washington branch office. And he's the one that asked me to get a couple of studies that were left out of the Bressler report. When I was in Chicago, and he was dying at the time, he was in a nursing home, and I sat on the end of his bed with Wayne Shore, Mission Possible, Chicago. And I said, what are we going to do? How many people are going to die? He kept saying, Betty, they can't do it. They cannot do it. This is against the law. I says, but look at all the other things the FDA does that are against the law. They serve above the law, you know? And they don't care. They will do it. He says they can't. Well, look what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
you know, where the information is. There's 17 different dairy products now that you have to go to the Federal Register. Uh-huh. I think about 95,000 people have objected so far, and that they want to put it in unlabeled. And the biggest thing that really worries me, even more than phenylketonuria, is the fact that aspartame is so poisonous that if you use, you know, enough of it, you are chemically hypersensitive for life. And in the beginning, 20 years ago, I didn't say a whole lot about it. And Dr. Bowen, one day, he said, Betty, nobody will ever live a normal life unless you explain it to them. The thing of it is that once they get off of it, if they accidentally get it, they can go into anaphylactic shock. A lot of people say that's funny. You know, I keep thinking I'm allergic to this and I'm allergic to that. And you will remember in the movie Sweet Misery, A Poison World, mm-hmm. that a woman told the hospital, you cannot give me aspartame. They gave her some crystal light. She became a code blue and they had to resuscitate her to save her life.
Wow.
And there's so many that have contacted me. I accidentally got aspartame and went into anaphylactic shock and almost didn't live. And all these people that have gotten off of it, that are chemically hypersensitive, they accidentally get it, you know, pour some milk in their coffee or something when they're trying to avoid it, being unlabeled, you know, and they can drop dead because, you know, Dr. Roberts, Dr. Bowen, Dr. Russell Blaylock have all written reports that it causes sudden cardiac death.
Right.
So, you know, we have a lot of problems that nobody were even thinking
Heart
about.
Heart attack, cancer. I mean, how many different kinds of things can this deadly neurotoxin cause?
I know. And the thing of it is, there's so many of these studies that are absolutely recent. I mean, just in the last year or so, like the Denmark study on 60,000 women showing that aspartame can jump preterm birth 78%. There were three studies that Dr. Siffredi did showing it to be, you know, a multipotential carcinogen.
Right.
And then not recently, here comes Harvard. You know, the name Harvard stands out to people. Aha, Harvard says that it causes multiple myeloma, lymphoma, leukemia, same things. The lymphoma and the leukemia is what Dr. Siffredi found. And my goodness, by the time they had opened their mouth and told about this study, the aspartame industry must have gotten to them because they said, oops, we apologize. You know, this was not, this was weak science. And then you look at it and they talk about, you know, how many people and how many years that they did the study and how strong it is.
It was anything but weak.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they did a study showing that it caused heart attacks and stroke, one recently linking it to diabetes. And Dr. Roberts, you remember, is a diabetic specialist. And
yes.
He said it caused the diabetic epidemic because it precipitates diabetes, interacts with insulin, causes diabetics to go into convulsions.
Yeah.
And even other studies on obesity and raising fasting blood sugar. And with all this, with all these studies, one right after the other, not showing maybe it's not too good for you, but actually showing it is deadly and a killer, the European Food Safety Authority says we did another review, it's safe.
Wow.
So.
Okay, we have to take another short intermission here. We'll come right back. You know, the other issue, and I've seen this several times, people will buy the cases of Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi, I don't know how many, I guess that's 24 cans. So when Betty says it is addictive, it is addictive. I mean, this is a very, very shrewd and stealthy carcinogen neurotoxin that you just don't want anywhere near your home. And I've seen little children drink this stuff. And I just want to go up and tell the parents, you know, are you nuts? Well, they don't know.
I know,
you've got more courage than I do when it comes to that. It's sickening when you see a shopping cart in a supermarket full of that stuff, and you see a family and the chewing gum and the dentists that recommend, oh, here, take this sugar-free gum. It's really good for you. You won't get any cavities, and on and on and on. All right, just a sec. We'll come right back with Dr. Betty Martini. Okay, back with Betty. Aspartame, artificial sweeteners. Folks, if you got to drink sodas, drink the kind with sugar in them, all right? Now, there was a story you asked me to post. I did post it last night. Apparently, Coca-Cola is reformulating the sweetener in Sprite, and they're going to get rid of, well, you tell us.
Well, here's the problem.
Or do we believe Coke?
No, I never did believe Coke. And I think the reason that, and the reason I sent it, as you know, Felicity Mawson, who is Mission Possible UK, mm-hmm. had written a comment to that. And she asked me if you would post that because she said that people need to know, you know, when they add things like stevia, that they are using chemicals in these things. And this is the reason that people are react. You know, they're trying to say like, you know, we hear what you're saying, so you want stevia, we'll give you stevia. And so they made a product made out of, they said stevia, but then when we went to investigate it, and Arthur Evangelista used to work with the FDA and left.
I know Arthur.
Yeah, of course, their corruption, did all this research and found out it was just a bunch of chemicals. You know, if you were to buy stevia just straight and, you know, green leaves, green without anything else in it, you know, it would be fine. But like in Brazil, they add aspartame to it. Well, in this products that they make, actually, it appears to be sweetened by erythritol, which is a sugar alcohol that makes you bloat and gives you diarrhea and all these different things. So they mix all these chemicals in it. And I wouldn't believe a thing that Coke said. In other words, the reason that we boycott them is because, you know, they were number one in the National Soft Drink Association, so they knew, they emphatically knew how bad it was and protested, then turned around and lobbied for NutraSweet. So, no, there's no way that I would ever believe anything that Coke says. I would say stay away from it. And incidentally, I guess I can say this now over the air, but you know, I once told the Just Like Sugar company, before they were Just Like Sugar, that we didn't know what to tell people to use because mm-hmm. they kept putting chemicals in it. And they said, we'll make something. And they made the Just Like Sugar, which is absolutely, you know, wonderful. And because it's organic food, and Dr. Blaylock had it tested out. But they are beginning to make soda pop. And I said, and they told me out of fiber, you know, just as safe. And I said, you got to be kidding. He says, no, I'll send you some. And so I called him up and I said, could you get a pipeline to my kitchen? I said, and it's called Healthy Soda, made out of fiber. And, you know, if they could make something healthy, anybody could. They didn't have to put all these chemical things in it. And one of the funniest things is that, you know, when they start putting aspartame in gum, which is absolutely the worst, you know, Dr. Roberts wrote a great paper about it. He says, you know, it's buccal. It works like nitroglycerin under the tongue. It goes through saliva straight to the brain. So anyway, Mike Silver, Just Like Sugar, he says, okay, we'll make gum. Well, he said, guess what? He says, when they make this petroleum-based gum on the market, you can't make safe gum on the slave machine. Because I said, what's taking you so long? He says, we're having to build a new machine.
Huh.
And so then I told him, I said, what are we going to do about these kids in school? And so he said, we're working on it. And so in September, they have made a product for the schools, and it's the most interesting product. The bottle is made out of corn from the Amazon rainforest, because you can't use anything in the United States. Corn genetically engineered,
right.
And it has a little thing on the top for the kids to play with that has organic juice in it, and it's got alkaline water in it, so, you know, not all the junk. And you push this little thing down in the top, and you shake it, and the kids have a ball with it, and they're drinking an organic product made out of fiber that is healthy for them. So it just, it really, I told him, I said, it goes to show you, and I have absolutely no financial association with this company. They may have done it because of me, but, you know, they just, I said, you know, Mike, you did this for me, and he said, yes, and he said, because we had to do something for the world. We simply had to do something and put safe products out there without
sure.
all these chemicals.
Sure, sure.
So they have gum and soda pop.
It's just amazing. And all the other candies, too. Now, isn't it true that the feds allow sugar to be cut with, what is it, up to 10% aspartame without having to label it now as containing aspartame?
Yeah, a certain aspartame? Amount. I'm not sure the amount either, but, yeah.
They can, in other words, they can mix it in with traditional, normal sweeteners like sugar, evaporated cane juice, and anything they want.
Yes,
and they don't have to label it.
That's
if it's
right.
under a certain percentage. So you don't know.
Well, you know, the first time I saw that was when I was lecturing in England, and I almost couldn't believe it because I was in a grocery store, and it looked more like toys. In other words, they had these little pink airplanes hanging down, and I said, oh, isn't that cute, until I picked it up, and it said aspartame and sugar, and that's what was in it. The worst product I found over there, and it's against their laws, too, because I checked with Food Standards, and they said that you cannot give artificial sweeteners to, they have to be at least 3 years old. And they were giving little toddlers a product called Bubbly. Number one, it has that brilliant blue dye. And so if you pick it up in your hand, it just is royal blue. And then you look on the label, and it says aspartame, saccharin, citric acid, a couple of other of these bad sweeteners, and nothing else. No food.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder why the kids are, you know, are like this. And when I said, hey, this is against the law, and they said, well, yeah, guess so. In other words, nobody really cares about it. And
right.
you wonder why they're brains are like they are. But, you know, as I told you some of the new news, you know, after I spent 8 years trying to find two studies that for Jerome Breslin that were left out of his report, they turned out to be teratology studies, and called neurotube, you know, problems, and also cleft palate, all these things. And couldn't understand whether they had taken them out, gave them back to Jerome Breslin before he died, added them back on our website, and then turned around that Dr. Bonnie found four more and found out that the FDA, knowing it would cause an epidemic of autism, made a deal with the manufacturer never to allow the public to see
them. There you go.
Genocide, straight genocide.
Sure it is. And that's not the only thing. Aspartame is one of the worst, but there are so many things they put in food which haven't gotten the attention that
but
aspartame
they interact.
Has. Sure they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, just a sec. We'll take a break. Be back. Forget the time, Betty, I was in a dentist's office, and it was a pediatric dental office, and there was this huge basket of aspartame gum, sugar-free gum, and every parent that went in there was given two or three packs. The kiddies were allowed to choose their own flavor. It made me sick. just looking at it and knowing what was going on. And it's the same thing when you confront a dentist about aspartame as when you confront a dentist about fluoride. I've had dentists get angry.
And so have I.
Oh, yeah.
So have I.
I was actually thrown out of three different, not thrown out, but told that I wouldn't be treated at three different dentists because I tried to tell them how dangerous fluoride was. And they were big into painting it on teeth and, you know, fluoride gel and trays, which they put on the kids' teeth. And it's just, it's crazy. It's just lunacy. Deadly, you know, lunacy at that.
You know, it's just a wonder that they don't research or have, you know, I was talking to someone recently, and I said that, you know, I've been 20 years trying to get aspartame off the market. And I said that, you know, people are dying from it because physicians don't know. Now they need to have a course in medical school and in dental school on just how deadly aspartame is and things that it causes. How, you know, just how quickly can you educate all the physicians and all the dentists? And some of them are addicted themselves, and you can't get them off. And, oh, that's something else, you know. I'm glad that you brought that up because people need to know why it's so addicted, and that's because that's
very important, yeah.
Yeah, that menthol is classified as a narcotic, and it causes chronic menthol poisoning, and this affects the dopamine system of the brain and causes the addiction. And, you know, over 20 years, people have told me that even when they were on things like cocaine, it was harder to get off aspartame than it was to get off cocaine. And
it is
really tragic. As you know, Diane Fleming's husband, you know, used it all these years and was very aerobic and died of acute methanol poisoning. Oh, and I should tell you this, found out accidentally, he had mixed three times the amount of creatine in it, and we couldn't figure out why there was some methanol. And finally, one day, somebody from GNC called to argue with me, and I says, you know, I found out a patent where you're going to put aspartame in the creatine interacts. He says, we've always put aspartame in the creatine. I said, it is not labeled. They said, well, it wasn't that much, and we just decided not to label it. And that's what the police found, and that poor woman has been in prison after taking three lie detector tests, after the police said she was innocent, and has 20 more years to serve, and we've spent 10 years trying to get her out.
How can this be? How can this be? Well, and how many other people are in prison on equally absurd charges?
Well, let me tell you what, there's another case in New York, and just the other day, someone emailed me from Scotland and said they think they got another case over there, too. Same thing, methanol poisoning, aspartame victim.
I don't know. It gets to the point where someone's in prison for so long, it's almost like the mechanism doesn't want to even confront that situation and admit that it was wrong, so they leave them in prison.
Well, not only that, you know, she's been on TV. They actually, you know, they interviewed her there and then did a show on it like Snapped, and they said it's so unusual. The one time where police will not testify against her. And when Sweet Misery was made, and I talked to Bob Scour, and he said, look, he said, if I hadn't been promoted that day, I would have stopped the indictment. The woman is innocent. I could not have had a woman put in prison and slept at night knowing that she was perfectly innocent. And that poor Sunday school teacher has been there 10 years. An innocent person where even the police admit we sure need some help.
I can't, Betty, she get, I mean, with your help and the help of so many others, can't she get an appeal filed by a competent attorney?
Here's what happened. All the appeals were up, took it to the Supreme Court. They gave her 10 minutes, and the way the law is laid out, she didn't know it was aspartame at the time. She was on it herself. In fact, that's what the jury said. She couldn't show any emotion. She was a basket case because she couldn't imagine being indicted. And so the doctor put her on this antidepressant that interacts with aspartame and makes you like a zombie. And they said that's why they convicted her. There was absolutely no evidence. And not only that, they tried to say that, you know, that it was the Gatorade where they put the creatine in there. And they did a study. They actually did a study, And the toxicologist calls in and said, no, it wasn't that either. And he didn't do a written report. And if he had, so they knew when they, you know, had indicted her, she wasn't guilty, and there was no report. It was verbal. And so they, if he had put that in writing, they couldn't have convicted her because their toxicologist showed she was innocent. And so, you know, the only way to get an appeal has to show a problem with the original case. And they, you know, Virginia is different than other states. It's a long story, but so nothing could be done. She has no money. She ran out of appeals. And so this very fine doctor who's writing a book about aspartame called me and said, I've got a friend who is an attorney. And incidentally, he's a paraplegic. I did not know that. And he's gone to the governor. His name is Bonet, Paulman Bonet. And you can get on his website and see the whole case. It's magnificent what he did. But now, after 2 years, the governor's office says, now you got to, you know, write another paper. And this goes on and on and on, and nothing is getting done.
Well, all right. Another sad footnote on a failed society.
There's so many stories, horror stories about aspartame. There's many of them, you know, that relate to prison.
Yeah. Did the airline still ban its use?
Well, no. You know, we have a lot of people on our list, believe it or not, that are work for the FAA. The FAA says, well, you know, we can't legally tell anybody about aspartame because the FDA approved it. But they tell me that they tell them on the side. But a lot of the pilots don't know. You know, we have a Mission Possible Aviation, although, you know, when I can get in the, go in there and I bring all the pilot packets, you know, I go in there and what I say is, listen, sugar, if you're going to use Diet Coke, I'm out of here. And I give it to all the stewardesses. Many of them are off of it. Some of them have written me letters. But the problem is that if they put it in dairy products, you know, your life's in the hands of the pilot. There was one on American that was drinking Diet Coke and just dropped dead, you know, just like Dr. Blaylock says, sudden cardiac death. So, you know, and then they'll be chemically hypersensitive and the planes will go down. You know, it was a good thing there were two pilots and one of them dropped dead on one of the planes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've been, you know, and talked to Robert. He said he was talking to somebody that was in air traffic control one day. He was drinking a Diet Coke. And he said he forgot who he was and where he was. And, you know, it takes away your memory and, you know, it precipitates.
Well, that's that incredible epidemic of short-term memory loss. What was I thinking about? What was I going to say?
Exactly.
All over the place. And you don't have to drink Diet Coke for that because it's in so many different products.
Right. And that's how Mission Possible Aviation got started, is this pilot, Cliff Evans, wrote Dr. Blaylock and said, you know, dumb I'm not, but I crashed my plane on aspartame. I could not make a decision. I could not remember. And then Dr. Blaylock told him to get in touch with me, and he came to Atlanta. And he said, help the pilot. So we set up Mission Possible Aviation. And, you know, I've given out thousands of pilot packets. And they do spread the word. But like I say, I'm so concerned because if they allow this against the law and put it in all 17 different dairy products, you have to remember that dairy is used as an ingredient. They could bake a cake, you know, and put milk in it and then heat it up. And if you don't think that's going to cause a big reaction, you know, one of the cases that we had some years ago is a man that got off of aspartame, been off of it a year, was doing great. Someone handed him a cookie that had been baked with aspartame, and he had the worst case of tachycardia, this fast heart rate, that they had to stop his heart to save his life. That's the chemical hypersensitization.
Wow.
And that's what could happen to these pilots.
It just the more you study it, Betty, the more people study it, the more they find out, and the worse it gets.
Yes.
It just seems like it's endless. Every time I talk to you, it's worse.
I know. You know, and now I've got all Dr. Roberts' Robert's records. I'd love to put them on the web. It's just so many of them.
That's a huge amount of work.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Well, his contribution was and is extraordinary.
He was one of the most extraordinary men I've ever known.
I wonder how many lives he saved.
Millions.
Yeah, and you too.
Because he trained physicians, you see, so they would know. And I've been putting out his material for 20 years. So,
I've published a ton of it. I know.
You have. God bless you, Jeff. You certainly have. You put it on web, and so many people read your website. They call me all the time.
Well, I'm always happy to help. All right,
sure
keep
do.
It up. You keep it up, and you deserve a medal of some kind. But I think our thanks is coming from all around the world, and I know you know that. So
we are
grateful.
I thank you for your help.
Always. All right. Take care, Betty.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night. Dr. Betty Martini, and please read labels. Aspartame, NutraSweet, and understand that they can now hide it in other sweeteners without being forced to disclose it. It's like the GMO labeling wars. All right. That's our program tonight. You have a great weekend. We'll be, of course, with you on reruns during the weekend, our encore Sunday night, and then right back with you Monday. And in the meantime, we'll be with you at Rentz.com. Take care, and we'll talk soon.